it is Ryan Seacrest here, and if you're looking for some serious fun, head over to ChumbaCasino.com. At ChumbaCasino, you can play all your favorite social casino-style games for free anytime, anywhere. It's the most fun you can have on your phone or computer.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 21 plus.
How to have fun anytime, anywhere. Step one, go to ChumbaCasino.com.
ChumbaCasino.com. Got it.
Step two, collect your welcome bonus.
Come to Papa, welcome bonus.
Step three, play hundreds of casino-style games for free.
That's a lot of games, all for free.
Step four, unleash your excitement.
Woohoo!
Chumba Casino has been delivering thrills for over a decade. So claim your free welcome bonus now and live the Chumba life. Visit ChumbaCasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus. Terms and conditions apply.
This is Hidden Tillers Live with Tony Bruschi and Robin Drake.
Hard to believe it. It's been more than 16 weeks since Nancy Guthrie was taken from her home. More than 100 days now. I mean, we're almost damn near half a year in. No arrest, no named suspect, and somewhere the person responsible has maybe, again, I say maybe been living. Maybe not. Probably looks like a normal life. The evidence points to a burglary gone catastrophically wrong. Someone who walked in for something and left with an outcome that they could never undo. That was one night, but every day since has really required its own set of choices. What to do with the evidence? Who to avoid, whether to run, whether to talk. That's assuming the person is still alive. And that's the operative point that we're going to be going from today, because it's not so beneficial to talk about what a corpse would be doing if, in fact, that person is gone. Joining us to discuss, as always, Robin Drake, retired FBI Special Agent, Chief of the Counterintelligence Behavioral Analysis Program. And it is Wednesday, so psychotherapist Siobhan Scott and author is... also with us to help us break down where this is all going. Siobhan has spent more than 30 years working with violent offenders in forensic settings, studying not just why people commit acts of violence, but what happens to them afterwards, the decisions, the deterioration, the psychological machinery that either holds or breaks. And we're all kind of wondering what's going to happen here. Siobhan, the act itself, it was one night. But in 16 weeks since, the person who did this has to make a lot of decisions. If there's evidence, what to do with it? And obviously, Nancy was evidence. How to account for their time, whether to stay, whether to run, whether to talk, whether to stay silent, act normal, don't act normal, keep doing what you're doing, don't keep doing what you're doing. Each one of these decisions deepens their involvement from a standpoint of your own, a clinical standpoint. What is that post-crime decision cascade do to someone psychologically? I mean, does each choice make it easier to keep going, or is it harder as time goes on for someone who did something like this, assuming there's one person involved here?
Yeah. I will, you know, because of course you can get a lot of different personality types and people that commit crimes. I'm going to sort of simplify it. Mm-hmm. And the way I would categorize it, you could have two kinds of people potentially involved here. One would be a person with very psychopathic tendencies, somebody who's kind of a career criminal, maybe not something this big, but they've done a lot of burglaries, they've done a lot of crimes, and this is kind of a lifelong pattern for them. The other kind of person would be, this is an anomaly. This is, for whatever reason, they got involved in something and they're not psychopathic. Let's just say they're more of an average everyday person. And I think those two types of people would handle it very differently, because a person who's got psychopathic tendencies can compartmentalize really well. They don't have a lot of anxiety. In fact, what we know about folks like that, their emotional center of the brain, the part of the brain, you know, the amygdala, that's the part where fear and anxiety responses are generated. And psychopathic people have a much smaller amygdala. So they don't feel a lot of anxiety when committing crimes. They don't get nervous. It's a lot more methodical for them. And so they're going to just be carrying on with life. And they've, you know, done what they need to do as far as they can see. and they're not really going to be affected by it. In fact, they may enjoy the attention that they're seeing in the media. The other kind of person is going to be really hypervigilant and anxious and suffering right now. And, you know, we don't know what kind of person we have here, but it could go either way.
Based on what we're seeing with the very limited data, Siobhan, of Porch Guy and the very limited data points we're having on what we see there with movements, with behavior, with clothing, do you have a venture, a conjecture, or a guess on what you think we're dealing with? Especially not just there, but then in what we're not hearing in the aftermath afterwards.
Yeah, since this was a very bold thing to do, however, you know, effectively he pulled it off, I'm not sure, because there's been, you know, we've discussed how sophisticated was it with the management of, you know, putting the bush over the camera and all that kind of stuff. Was this really a pro? But my guess is it's somebody that has committed a lot of crimes before to do something this bold. And so this is probably a person with more psychopathic tendencies who's really standing back and just going on with his regular day job, whatever that may be, and not losing any sleep over it.
So not a lot of leakage. And most likely, too, then if we're dealing with someone that can compartmentalize well, we'll go. I'm just also commenting on the Savannah Guthrie messaging that they did out, you know, great messaging hitting different types of people. But one of the messages I think were very methodical and pragmatic was, say, just do X, Y, and Z for X, Y, and Z. Then you had the empathetic appeal. So I'm guessing no real appeal when you have the empathetic appeal then.
They wouldn't be moved by that.
I want to ask about the wrench theory. Have you heard the wrench theory that's going on right now, where it's basically it can kind of tie, can kind of not in this, just like everything. There's elements that can kind of do it. Wrench theory is basically a wrench attack is what it's called, is when someone goes in and attacks somebody to get cryptocurrency either directly from their victim that they're going after, or that victim is close enough to someone who has a crypto wallet that can be influenced to give them their money, basically just through a password. Wrench attack, because it's $5 for a wrench and doesn't require super scientific or super in-depth planning or a huge consortium of people to go in and rob a bank to get millions of dollars or something. It takes a $5 wrench and threatening someone. This has been happening quite a bit in the last 2 years. There's studies on it. It's certainly going up. There was a wrench attack in Scottsdale, Arizona, the day she went missing, which is about 70 miles or so from where she is. Again, these attacks have gone in. They try and get money from people. It's typically young people who are, I guess, recruitable, if you will, online to go and be this kind of this, what was the word you guys used in the FBI, Robin, for kind of the mope, the moat, the what?
Mope.
The mope, basically, M-O-P-E, if you will.
Mope.
The M-O-P-E for some higher power that's in another country that's never going to get in trouble for any of this. They're recruiting somebody over here. Kind of a nihilistic thinking person, if you will, that doesn't have much to live for, that they're going to go in, they're going to do this, they're going to get the money, they're going to get their cut, and they're going to be out. And that's it. That's all there is to it. But if the person gets caught, then it's on them. And the higher source that's recruiting these nihilistic, idiotic people that feel they have nothing to live for, but maybe they'll go cash in on this. If they get caught, then it's on them. That's something that some people are looking at here. I don't know how well it applies. What I'm more thinking about, though, is nihilism and that way of thinking and that way of just not feeling there's a whole lot to live for, that there's not a whole lot of purpose to life. That, I mean, it's essentially the way I would kind of describe it is people that it's like you're a live game player of Grand Theft Auto running about the mm-hmm. world, doing whatever you want to do. Mm-hmm. And the world is your murder simulator or simulator mm-hmm. to whatever you want to do. What if we're dealing with that type of a person? And what type of a person is is a nihilistic person. That term's getting thrown around a lot. Is that someone that would fall into like the sociopathy area, psychopathy, narcissism? I mean, it's a very interesting way of looking, but it seems there are, you know, a lot of people who kind of feel that have that outlook on life.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I wouldn't see narcissism with that because a narcissist would probably be the opposite.
Okay.
You know, very self-aggrandizing and I'm very important and I want people to recognize how important I am. So I would describe the more nihilistic kind of person who will commit a crime as somebody who's more depressive and just feels like none of it matters. Mm-hmm. So screw it. Let's just go for it and see what happens. And they don't have any moral compass. They don't have integrity, but it's more of, you know, you just think of somebody who's just kind of flat and down and out. That would be my guess.
Would that type of a person fit something like this? I mean, would that type of a person be someone that would be recruitable for a mission of this sort?
I wouldn't see that.
No.
And I'm just going with my gut here.
Yeah.
I would see somebody who's, you know, if we were looking at the narcissistic psychopath person, someone more like that.
Okay.
Because it takes a certain boldness to go into a house and, you know, whether they intended to kidnap her or, you know, as we've speculated at times, did she just pass away during, you know, the burglary, if that's what was going on, or was there an intent to kidnap her? This is somebody who's, I think, very bold and very, you know, lacking the normal sense of anxiety that a normal person would have about doing something like this. So it's very active kind of thing where I think a more nihilistic person is a person who doesn't want to put out a lot of energy for committing a crime.
Not a lot of, they don't want to put a lot of energy up, but they also don't have much regard for what they do put out.
I
guess that's where I'm like, Are we looking at the wrong area here? Are we thinking too traditional, if you will, too much in the classic form of folks who kidnap old people? Mm-hmm. You know, is it? I mean, because there is that way of thinking out there. But you do make some good points because the motor is a key aspect of that. And if they don't have much of a motor, they're just kind of then you know, don't usually have it. But I could see, you know, two types of people going into that house to doing that: a very bold person who thinks or just doesn't give a shit at all. You know, like it could almost be like two different ends of the spectrum to a certain extent, but very extreme. Robin, I'm sorry, I didn't mean to interrupt you.
No, not at all. I'm just kind of fleshing through all these different personality types as we're seeing, you know, kind of overlaying them on what we have seen and what we haven't seen since. I'm definitely on the side of more nihilistic as well because, you know, like Siobhan said, someone who's high on the look at me spectrum, basically, we'd have leakage afterwards. And I'm also going to do, let's start with the presumption that this person's still alive because if they're dead, you know, we won't get any leakage anywhere. So I'm also on that psychopathic side as well, just because, you know, it's more transactional. Life is more transactional. But I'm thinking about that nihilistic side with like, well, who cares? No big deal. As a personality type that would do this, I don't think so. Again, just from the limited data we have from Porch Guy, because what he was wearing and what we saw and the behaviors we saw could be very flippant, like no reaction to anything, very fluid with what he was doing on that porch and what we saw beforehand. But again, that could be because what Siobhan said, this individual had reps, as we've said before, and doing this before, so he's comfortable doing it. But the amount of planning for what he wore is above and beyond what I typically see on these things. So that's not someone who I would imagine would be very flippant about, hey, no big deal, I don't care too much. They cared enough to not be found by what they're presenting there. And I think not being found at this point has less to do with him as it does with the investigation. And so I'm still going on the side of what we're saying with most likely higher in psychopathy, career guy. And career, you know, it's an interesting word, isn't it, in this kind of thing. Had reps doing this before, and things went sideways.
Mm-hmm. What are your thoughts this far in? Now, more than 100 days in, we have nothing, publicly at least, of this being a one-man job? Or do you think that there, I mean, The more people involved, the more leakage you likely could have. That somebody at this point, there's a million some dollars on the line. If somebody opens up their mouth and says, I was involved in some way, shape, or form where I have information. I mean, hell, we've seen many cases where people are intimately involved in the crime. But if they're the ones that blow the whistle on it, they get the money and the get out of jail free card. So there's a lot of people who basically have that option right now to become a millionaire overnight. If this was some sort of a group activity. What are your thoughts on that being deeper than just this one guy at this point with the lack of anything that we've seen so far, Siobhan?
Mm-hmm. Well, you're right. And having a co-conspirator raises the threat of disclosure. And it's, again, it's possible, but considering that she was 84 years old, I think it's also possible that one person with a plan could have just done it.
Yeah.
I'm 50-50. Let's for a second, I'll go down our coffin deafer road of bigger group organization, hired a mope and in. With, again, cascading on what Siobhan just said, if you had a mope that was hired hand to do this, there'd be leakage. So my guess is if you're going to go down that road, that 50%, then whoever was the hired hand, that mope on porch, he was bumped off afterwards because he blew it, and you can't have leakage. So if that's a large organization, because you can't hide crap this long in large organizations, it just doesn't work because people have leakage. It just happens. And so then on the other side is solo guy, burglary, or intent to take something in the home. I'm very open-ended on that, whether it was Nancy or something else targeted in that house. I've always been saying something in that house was targeted for taking. And if it's a one person, then if they're on the high psychopathy scale, like Siobhan was saying, there wouldn't be any leakage. They've moved on. It went sideways. Next. Mm-hmm. So I think if it's the other side, that person was killed or is dead, in my estimation, because there would be leakage. And if it's the other side, it's one person. Mm-hmm. That's my theory.
Yeah. It's hard to know, obviously, with such limited information, we're still filling in the gaps. Mm-hmm. Both of you, I'll go with Siobhan first. We're this far in, we haven't gotten anything. Do you see this thing being solved? Or having, I'm going to say solved, because there'll be a trial if they catch somebody, if they're alive. Do you see them having a person in custody by the end of 2026? In your opinion?
I would sure love to. We all would love to. So, yeah, I'll have to say 50-50 on that one, too. Something could break. There may be something going on behind the scenes that we don't know about. And it's got to be just hell on the family. And I'm sure the neighbors are terrified. And it would be wonderful to have something. But, yeah, as you say, I haven't followed really closely all the problems with the investigation, but it sure sounds like it's not been the best, and that concerns me.
Robin?
So, and actually, I'm going to go back to one of our viewers. Like, they commented on another podcast, and I'm seeing this on other shows as well, that that someone's theorizing that the investigators have the name already. They just don't know which name it is because they have a large pile. I tend to believe that. I'm probably up at like 75-80% that somewhere in a massive data pile between all the people at Walmart that bought these things, all the people that purchased the types of guns like this, all these potential names, I do think that the perpetrator's in there somewhere. I think it's going to come down to the energy that the investigations have to create a filter that gives us that name. I don't know if they have that energy, but I do think that somewhere in that pile, there's knowledge, because we have enough data to say where that material came from, where the clothing came from, and it just, do you have the right filter to get to it? So by the end of 2026, I don't know. I really think it's going to come down to, again, the energy and the coordination takes to sift through a lot of receipts, a lot of people, and that's what we don't know.
I mean, I I kind of agree there. This will be a throwback to those of us who remember a product called the phone book. you know, every city had a phone book. Every city's a different size based on your population. There's a list of a lot of people in there, and I can guarantee a bunch of them have murdered people. But what's the filter to figure it out? I feel like that's where we're sitting. We have a phone book. And
yeah.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And what are we, how are we going to filter?
It always comes down to that. It's the quality of filter. And that's what profilers do. That's what the behavioral team does. So you have a bunch of unsubs and a bunch of potential people. And this is what profilers do when they come in. And the investigation team gives the behavioral people, hey, here's all the data. Here's everything we have. Create a profile, which is creating a filter for who would potentially commit something like this from the data we have in the observations. Then once you have a filter, you then take that filter and then overlay it with all the potential names you have. And then you have a more reduced filter. Then you start conducting interviews and investigation with this narrow filter. So do they have enough to do that? I don't know, you know, so that's, and what they're sharing with that, like people are commenting Nanos's involvement, who knows, man, because there's such chaos, I think, going on behind the scenes, but they got a lot of data from a lot of things. Do they have enough filters to go through it?
And I'm wondering, have they, and you know, I hope so, and it would seem obvious to do that, but anybody who had contact with her, somebody mentioned in the comments, maybe a church member, any kind of handyman, yard work. I mean, there's so many cases of elderly people victimized because somebody came in a year before and replaced a window in their house or something like that. I hope that all of those people have been looked at.
You'd think they have. I mean, I'm assuming they all have been.
And I would think.
Because I know the neighborhood, Jen was saying this the other day on the show, you know, the neighborhood's been canvassed and re-canvassed like multiple times as you get more things in. So they get exhausted from regurgitating the same thing. And at this point, actually, that's a good follow-on question to this for you, Siobhan. At what point do false memories or... not necessarily false memories, or implanted memories start happening to people you're interviewing because of all the media attention it's getting and for conjecture you're seeing. You know, like our listeners are commenting this, this, and this. We take this in. We don't remember exactly where we get it. We kind of synthesize it with this. At what point does that become a problem?
Yeah, I think it's always a huge problem. People, we can just say misremembering, or they have a bias, you know, and it's got to be hell to sift through all of it. I mean, it's a lot of work, and they need to devote a lot of energy to it.
Well, and if you're just the average person there, a neighbor of Nancy's, you're wanting to find an answer.
Yes.
So your brain is sitting there racking itself going, was there any weird noises that night? Did I see a car drive by? And then that's where you get into the dangerous territory as more and more time goes by of misremembering things or your brain manufacturing things
to help wild ideas.
Yeah. I mean, to fit a narrative, not that you're wanting to misrepresent anything, but because you're actively trying and your brain is trying to do its best. And we're not the greatest at deciphering what's fact from fiction when it comes from right here. So,
all we want to do as a human being is we want to understand and feel safe. And so in lack of data, we create data. And again, something we do as a species more than anything else on this planet does, as we find patterns where patterns don't even necessarily exist. And when you start seeing patterns, this is where conspiracy theories come from. I mean, every time one of these cases pops up, this is what people start doing. They start trying to create patterns to understand things before you actually have facts and data. And then it's why all these boom, 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 boom. And this is where leadership and people like Nanos are supposed to step in and help people not do that. Not stamp it down because then people just fight back, but help them work through what you're actually doing so you understand it, so you can stop doing it, so you can keep focusing on facts, data, and details. So that's where real leads come from.
Well said.
Thanks.
Well, I think he loses his job in 2027, so we can start investigating it then. Hopefully, there's answers before then. Your thoughts in the comments section on Substack and YouTube. The links are in the description.
Want more on this case and others? Then press subscribe now and don't miss a moment of true crime coverage from Tony Bruschi and the Hidden Killers podcast.
It is Ryan Seacrest here. There was a recent social media trend which consisted of flying on a plane with no music, no movies, no entertainment. But a better trend would be going to ChumbaCasino.com. It's like having a mini social casino in your pocket. Chumba Casino has over 100 online casino-style games, all absolutely free. It's the most fun you can have online and on a plane. So grab your free welcome bonus now at ChumbaCasino.com. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus. Terms and conditions apply.
Step into the world of power, loyalty, and luck.
I'm going to make him an offer he can't refuse.
With family, cannolis, and spins mean everything.
Now, you want to get mixed up in the family business.
Introducing The Godfather at ChumbaCasino.com. Test your luck in the shadowy world of The Godfather slot.
Someday, I will call upon you to do a service for me.
Play The Godfather now at ChumbaCasino.com.
Welcome to the family.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus. Terms and conditions apply.
Yo, it's Jey Uso from WWE, and I'm Jimmy Uso. Chumba Casino and WWE are hyped for the biggest event of the summer, SummerSlam.
I know, I can't wait.
There's nothing better to do while we're waiting than playing Chumba Casino. Sign up today and you could win a VIP experience with Chumba Casino and WWE for SummerSlam. So what are you waiting for? Play Chumba Casino and enter for your chance to win. Let's Chumba. Yeah.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. See T's and C's. 21 plus. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.
Hey, it's Ryan Seacrest here, and I have discovered a fun new escape from the daily grind, Chumba Casino. Chumba Casino has hundreds of social casino-style games and it's all free to play anytime, anywhere with daily bonuses. So get to ChumbaCasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 21 plus.
Tyler Reddick here from 2311 Racing. Victory Lane? Yeah, it's even better with Chumba by my side. Race to ChumbaCasino.com. Let's Chumba.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. See TNCs. 21 plus. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.
Bubba Wallace here from 2311 Racing. You know what's slower than a pace car? Waiting at the car wash. That's when I fire up Chumba Casino. It turns those slow minutes into fast fun. With new games every week, you'll never get bored. Next time you're stuck in the slow lane, speed up with Chumba. Play now at ChumbaCasino.com. Let's Chumba.
Sponsored by Chumba Casino. No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus. Terms and conditions apply.
Hey, it's Cole Swindell. And when I spend 200 days a year rolling down the highway, the bus can start to feel smaller than a guitar case. Everyone wonders how I stay chill while the hours crawl by. Truth is, one good luck spent on Chumba, and suddenly the trip feels a whole lot shorter. Finding your space, even when there isn't much to spare. Need some chill? Let's Chumba.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus TNC supply. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.